we've been having 3 weeks of joy, right? Amen. We've been hearing about God's joy for us and exploring this wonderful theme. One of the reasons was that it was brought to our attention that there is a need for joy in the world during this time of the pandemic. Another one of the things that is greatly needed is encouragement. And actually, joy is in itself a great encouragement for people. And we possess that joy. And it's up to us to exhibit it. Amen? We don't be those agents of joy that we were talking about last week, that we are brought into God's joy by Jesus Christ, and he is our joy. And then we, in turn, are given that amazing privilege of being agents, carriers of joy to other people. Do you look at yourself that way? If you don't, today is the day to begin. Amen? To come with the intention in church to be that light that God has told us that we are. That not that there's some maybe in it, but it's the truth. And we have so many other things on our minds that we carry around, and sometimes opinions of ourselves and the things that we go through and we're affected by, and we lose sight of it. And God in his word takes us back into where we need to be to say, no, 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 your life is to be joyful. Amen? Amen? You guys are kind of quiet today, right? Let's get it going a little bit, just like we were singing, right? It's an interactive kind of a joy. We have to say, God, loosen my tongue and let me be that person that I am when something happens to me that really makes me feel this joy inside. And so today we are going to be continuing this theme, and it's an amazing scripture that we have here in Psalm 126. And it's one of the songs of ascents of people that were going towards Jerusalem, and they sang these songs. They sang these songs as they went on their way to Jerusalem, and they were reminding themselves also of how God was faithful and took them from a place of exile and being alone and feeling lonely and bad about life and not knowing what is going to happen and being thrust immediately into God's loving kindness and his mercy and restoration. Raise your hand if you've been restored. Have you been restored? Amen? Right? You came from some place where you were in despair or you were sad in some kind of a way, and God said, no, that's not my intention for you. My intention for you is to be filled with joy and to know that your life has meaning. That is my intention for bringing you into this world. You have meaning, and you have things to say through your life. You say it through music. You say it through art. You say it through science. You say it through architecture. You say it through school and all the different things that you are. You say it in your unique way. Amen? Your unique way, not the way of somebody else, but for you personally, that you have been given this unique life, this unique being that you are, in the image of God, so that you can express it to other people and show them the things that God has done and that he wants to do for them. And that's what life is all about. There's no halfway. There's no like holding back, right? There's no like, let me just kind of, you know, do this too. It's all that, all the time, you know, and we're so used to being overcome by the other things in our lives, the things that are going around us. And God focuses us back into the truth. And the reality that he is the one that provides us joy. And that is what he wants for us today. And so with that in mind, we're going to be taking a look at this great psalm. And it says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was shouts of joy. And then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Can we say that? The nations are saying the Lord has done great things for them. And we say the Lord has done great things for us. Amen? Right? Do you know what those are? Can somebody give a testimony? Can I hear someone shout out, what has God done for us? Feel free.
God protected me.
God protected you. Amen. How did he do that?
Being on the road and almost in an accident.
Yeah, amen.
Me by God's grace.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Somebody else? What is a great thing that God has done for me?
He walks in front of
me. He walks in front of me. Amen. Kit?
He cured Caitlin from her cancer.
He cured Caitlin from her cancer. Amen. Can't be quiet about that. Right? Amen.
He saved me from self-centered.
Yeah. Anyone else? We're not going to rush through. I know some people are a little shy about saying it, but you got to just feel free to share the joy. You know? Anybody else?
He gave us hope
every day. Amen. Amen.
Can you tell us how God provided?
How did God provide for you, Anthony?
I don't know.
Okay.
People to a place to live.
Amen. Yeah, they just had a big move in a very short time from a house they've been in for a long time, and they only had a short time to find a place and to move in there. We're so happy. Yeah. So there's a lot of things. You know, we can still, if you feel like in the middle of the sermon, you could just shout one out. Okay, I won't be worried about it. But isn't that, I mean, it's so simple to find what we need to do and where we need to be by looking at God's word, isn't it? It's right in front of us. They said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. They saw it. And so there's this declaration, the Lord has done great things for us, and we're glad. Are you glad that you're alive today? You should be, right? You need to be, because that is where God wants you to be, right? He has made me glad. He has made me glad. And that's where these songs come from. And listen to the kind of things that come from these people who have been saved, and we can learn from them. It was like they were in a dream. Things they could only dream of, God did in reality. And that's one of the things that I've been reading recently from different people, that they were saying, it's great to have a dream. It's nothing against dreams. But God is not a dream. He is a reality. And his realness comes through in his action and his love. He puts it out there and he shows it to us real and in person, so that we can experience it. It isn't just something that we hope will happen. It has happened. It has happened. He's not just a dream. He fulfills our dreams. He fulfills your dreams, right? We were like those who dream. I can't believe this. This is actually happening to me, right? And then what happened? Our mouth was filled with laughter. Can you laugh? You know, my grandson makes me, every time I just, you know, start laughing, and he starts laughing back. You know, you just don't, and that's not, it's not just this thing that we have in family. It's a gift from God, man. Right? You have the experience too, right? In your life, you have people that you see and you're just like, you know, it's so good to see you. How have you been? You know? And then after we do that, we go back to this. Oh, what do I got to do today? Oh, man. I have a long list of things that I have to do, and people are expecting things from me, you know. But we need, of course, we have to do things in life, and there are disciplines, and there are things that we have to get done. But, man, it's good to laugh, isn't it? I was reading, you probably heard this yourself, but they actually have a therapy that is called laughter therapy. And I think we ought to do that, like have a fellowship night. And then just come in, we can eat some food, and then we just start laughing, you know, and try to laugh at another, because it's something that is not used enough. It's this gift, you know. I remember there was a friend of mine, we were walking down Broadway in New York, and she introduced me to this guy, and man, he just laughed the whole time he talked to me. I don't even know why he was laughing. I think it actually just was part of his being, you know. He, And it almost made me laugh, you know, in kind of an awkward way. But I was, you know, thinking about it today, and I was thinking, I'm kind of envious of that, you know? We meet someone like that, and we're kind of like, well, what's this guy's problem? But actually, it's, what's my problem, right? Why can't I be so joyful and laughing and feeling good about life? And he didn't even meet me before, and he's just like exuberant about life, you know, and talking. And it was very catchy, you know, it just rubs off onto you. But we need to see this, that our mouth was filled with laughter. So Christians need to be laughing and be filled with laughter. Why? Because God has done things that are beyond our wildest dreams, man. Hasn't he? Right? He has. And our tongues are filled with shouts of joy. Shouts of joy, you know? What are some things that we shout for joy about? Nothing. Is there anything? I mean, that kind of points it out, right? We have to think about it. Well, what is something that you just shout for joy?
Birthday.
A birthday. Good, yeah. Joyful time. What else? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Christmas time, we shout for joy. The birth of Jesus Christ coming into the world, shattering all the darkness, bringing light, redemption for all of mankind. Praise the Lord, right? Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Right? These are the things that Christians do and we don't do because we forget and we get wrapped up in the other stuff. Sad to the world, the Lord has come. We don't want that, right? You have to get into it. You have to revive yourself in the Word. Revive yourself in the Lord. You need to remind yourself of what it is that we do at these special occasions. And like we were saying, we're in ordinary time. Remember the green growth time in between that we were learning about that we're in right now. It's not Christmas. It's not Easter. It's an in-between time, but it's not a time to let down. It's a time for growth. Growth in our lives, our spiritual lives, everything that God is doing in it. We're in vacation, right? A vacation time in the summer, but there's growth going on, man. There's growth going on and the roots are taking their place and they're finding that water and where God is bringing life into them and they're springing up into the world. And that's what you and I have to do. We can't fall asleep. Sleep is not a part of our consciousness as Christians. There is a time for vacation. Sure, you can relax and have a good time, but there is no time for us to waste because the world is so in need for it. And that takes us into this next section. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev, in the desert. Streams in the desert. Restore our fortunes, Lord. Bring this joy into us. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing the sheaves with him. Bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Right? And that is what the attitude, this is the third part of our joy, and it means that we're going and we're spreading the gospel and we're letting people know who Jesus is. And then we see joy. We shout for joy because we see that happening and we cannot give up hope. We cannot let our faith be darkened in any kind of way because we have a Redeemer who lives and his truth lives and it needs to be heard by people. And so that is my and that is your purpose to make sure that we're using our lives to glorify God and to have faith when we speak to people that he is going to bring them into the kingdom, that he's going to save them, that he's going to transform them from the times that they're going in the darkness now into joy. That's what they want. That's what they're saying. That's why we're talking about this. People are saying, I don't have any joy. We know where it is, don't we? We know where it is. And so we can't fall asleep. We cannot let down. There's a time for us, and it's now to do that. And so that is why God is teaching all these things. And it's so easy. I want to share a few thoughts from some different people that I really learned a lot about this week, and listen to the first one from Charles Spurgeon, a famous preacher. When a man's heart is so stirred that he weeps over the sins of others, he is elect to usefulness. Winners of souls are first weepers for souls. Winners for souls are first weepers for souls. Do we weep enough for the world around us? That means that you engage in what is going on in the lives of people who are suffering, and you weep in your soul deeply for them because you don't want them to be lost. You don't want them to be unsaved. You want them to come into the glory that is God, to know that being a child of God is for them, right? That we need to do that. That is one thing I really feel that God is teaching us today, brothers and sisters, that we need to weep for the world around us. It doesn't mean that we wallow in tears and kind of just fall back. It means that we weep, but then we step out. Right? Because we know that people are dying in their sins and they don't know Jesus, and we go out and tell them. Jesus Christ was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. A man named George Horn said this: "For thus thy blessed master went forth weeping, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, bearing precious seed and sowing it around him, so that at length his own body was buried like a grain of wheat in the furrow of the grave. But he arose and is now in heaven, from whence he shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, bringing his sheaves with him. And then shall every man receive the fruit of his works and have praise in God." Amen? Amen? By Jesus Christ is that sowing. His life was sown, right? Going into the ground, to the grave, coming up alive. And that is what we see when we're talking about weeping in sorrow and weeping in joy. We have to have that mindset. We have to grow in this area. And what does it take? It takes faith. It takes faith for us as Christians, not to just say, "I have a faith. It's called Christianity, and I go to church, and that is my faith. My faith is that I believe that God will do what he promises to do, and therefore I can always depend on him. And if I'm praying for a soul, that means that God is going to bring it about. He's going to bring salvation into their life. We have to get in. We have to break away from the world. Yes, but be what the world says. I listen to one, and that is Jesus Christ. I listen to. Faith will bear fruit. Seed is sown and kind of trust in. You can plant a seed in the ground and say, "I'm going to have a tomato." You can't stand around and look at the New York Times and pick it up and read that stuff and say, "I'm just going to turn to the happy stuff. Let me from the world. What we do in those moments is we say, even being in this world, and God has given me a witness in this world, and if all this stuff that is happening in this world is so terrible, then I'm not going to turn the page to another happier article. I'm going to be a part of that solution and help the world with the faith that I have in the true God who can really bring the true answers into this world. That's being a we don't just turn by it, and we all do that, right? We're all under this cloud of the misery and saying, this is so hard. We say that a lot. This is so hard. My life is so hard. It is hard, but you have been given power through Almighty God. So it's not your strength. It's his strength that empowers you to make a difference in the world. And so that's why it's so important that we come and we meet together to pray and to read God's word. And to be revived, we go out there and say, you know what? I know that God is going to do something great. And that's the kind of joy that people need to hear. We pray, believe that the Lord will make us into glad-hearted reapers. Believe that the Lord will make us into glad-hearted reapers. Are you glad-hearted? If you're not, then God can make you into a glad-hearted person. A reaper, someone who is going to go and is going to reap joy in the world because of the message we have. We are living in Ridgefield Park, and a sister in Christ who came to visit us a couple of weeks ago, she was there yesterday at the Jesus in the Park, and her father was pastor of a Latino church that met in this building, right? Hernandez, Pastor Hernandez, met in this room here. For many years, preaching God's word, and his daughter told me that Ridgefield Park is a town with hard soil. It's not easy. She's saying it wasn't easy for her father because Ridgefield Park is a place with hardened hearts. People that are holding on to their own lives and living for this world. You know what I thought of when I heard that I thought of Jesus raising Lazarus from the grave. I love the fact that she told me that about Ridgefield Park because it ignites a spark in the mind and the word of God that says God can do anything. And he comes into situations, especially those kind of situations where we all say it's a hardened heart city, and he says, not as far as I see it, not as far as I see it, my power that Satan or any other power in this world has. I'm going to use my church, namely Grace Church, to change things so that people are thriving in their lives and that they are not hard-hearted, but they are receiving joy. When I heard that, those words, it's a hard soil in Ridgefield Park, I thought of Nineveh. Jonah, go to Nineveh. These people, these terrible people who are worshiping idols, and warn them and tell them if they don't repent, I'm going to take them away. Meaning I'm going to destroy them. And Jonah was like, I don't want to go there. Those people are so horrible. I don't want to go there. He finally goes, and what happens? The king says, we need to repent. That's God's answer to hard hearts. To hear those kind of lies, those kind of things that people... I'm not trying to say it's easy. What I'm trying to say is that it has hope. And we're not bent on being hopeless people. We see those kind of challenges and we say, God, did you hear that? Lord, show them your glory. These people are dying. These people in Ridgefield Park have hardened hearts. Jesus, help my heart to break over them. Help my eyes to pour forth tears so that I am weeping for them. I'm sorrowing over them just as you are. God, save them. And we're not doing that. pronouncing it. So we need to do it. We have the word here to tell us we have to do it. I know we've started, and I really believe it's a great step. We went into Jesus in the park yesterday. But there needs to be more. There needs to be more. There needs to be interaction. There needs to be personal interaction. There needs to be a weeping for the town people. There needs to be prayer. There needs to be a pouring out of our souls, getting on our knees, coming together and saying, these people are going to die. And not just in this town, all through Bergen County, people are living on their wealth. And they live on wealth, and that's what drives them. And they close their eyes to the things that God is talking about here, and that's why we weep. So we're not going to be doing that. We're going to weep for these people. We're going to be like God wants us to be, and we're going to strive together to bring the gospel to people so that they will hear it. And you know what's going to happen then? Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Right? That is the thrust of this, that it's joy. That God's joy is going to come, and we're going to be thinking, wow, we heard all these terrible things, but God in his greatness has come and has enlivened this community and brought fire through the Holy Spirit. And look at them now. Look at the change of all these things. And so the people are going to come up to me and go, what is going on here? What a great town. Was it always like this? No, it was hard hearted and filled with darkness and all kinds of resistance to the gospel. But God came in through the power of his Holy Spirit and he changed things around. And look at what he did. Look at what he's done. The Lord has done great things for us and we're glad about it. I grew up in New Jersey, and I'm sick and tired of hearing about things going on in Jersey that are contrary to God's word. There are people who believe here, and it's time for us to gather together and go in strength to bring God's light into this state. It takes work. It takes weeping. It takes bearing seed and being sowers of seed, not just reading about it, but doing it. The church must not store up seed in storehouses so that people will come to it, but also send her sowers forth among those who are ignorant of its value or too indifferent to ask at her hands. She must not sit weeping because men will not apply to her or come to her, but must go forth and bear the precious seed to the unwilling, the careless, the prejudiced, and the prodigal. The prodigal. That is what the church needs to do. We weep, but we do not sit still. We go forth and we bear the precious seed to those who are hardened, that are unwilling, that are careless, prejudiced, or prodigal, wasteful with their lives, wasting their lives. And so we come back to this point now that we know we have what we need to do. We have the word before us and we hear what it is. Are we going to do it? Brothers and sisters, will we do it? Amen?